With the Lord's gracious help, I will venture to speak to you this evening from the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Apostle Paul is desirous to communicate to the people this one way of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ alone. Verse 26 seems to address the characters to whom this message is to be sent. He says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. We have to ask ourselves a question then. Are we of the stock of Abraham, or are we those that truly fear God? Has the Holy Spirit implanted the fear of God in our hearts, that we have come to realize that we are sinners, and that we are sinners of such a type that we cannot prevent ourselves from sinning, from offending God, from transgressing his holy law? Therefore, we are guilty. And the burden of guilt weighs heavy upon our consciences. Can we say with all honesty of heart and spirit, Lord, I have sinned? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Then immediately this message should make some impression upon our spirits. I know it's not convenient to preach about sin today. Man doesn't want to know himself to be rotten and vile. Man ever cleaves to the idea that he is something and can give something to society and also to God. But is it not part of the preaching of the gospel to empty man of all his supposed righteousness and good works, to bring him to see that within himself there dwelleth no good thing, that he is rotten from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, that he is as an unclean thing, that he is altogether unworthy? those on the day of Pentecost who were pricked in their conscience under the preaching of the Apostle Peter, then cried out. But it was not until then that they did cry out. Before, they had not realized or considered what they were by nature. But now, being thoroughly convicted of that they were unholy things, they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And as a door of opportunity opened for Peter, so he preached. And what did he preach unto them? He preached Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. And isn't this exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here? He's spoken to them of the death and of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's proved to them from the Holy Scriptures that these things were to take place, and how exactly the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled these scriptures and Old Testament prophecies. Now he would have them to know, in a very personal way, how they too might be saved characters. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And I hope the Holy Spirit this evening will grant you a measure of the force of these words upon your own spirits. In the original, the word man was not there. And so it would read that through this is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. A man is not to be taken there as a mere man, but as a divine man, as the God-man, Christ Jesus. Because no man, no mere ordinary man can save us from sin. It's only God that can forgive sins. And Christ is God. Then what a mercy that the Lord raises up his servants with that one intent, that they should make this gospel message known. We live in a day and a society which demeans, really, the preaching of the gospel. For the most part, sets it at naught as being worthless and useless. I agree, it is a strange means that God has chosen, that through the preaching of the gospel, men and women should be saved. Angels could not do this work, but a sinner who is saved by sovereign grace, to be able to declare unto others what the Lord has done for him, and how this salvation may be obtained by themselves also, being a witness of the inward work of the Holy Spirit, surely this should make an impression upon us. And we should be envious in that right sense, that we too might be brought into the secret, that we might enjoy the pleasures that this salvation gives. Be it known then. In other words, don't remain ignorant of these things. Hearken diligently unto what is set before you. Hear with a renewed ear and an earnest desire. Believe the reality of the words spoken, that they're not just a myth or a fable, but they are the words of truth and of life. And that by giving diligent search, we too may join in that experience and know these things for ourselves. That they be not something that is merely distant to us, something that we know about, but something that is truly written upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. See how the apostle uses these endearing terms. He's not speaking to strangers. He's not speaking to foreigners. He's not speaking to those who are utterly and totally disinterested. He's speaking to those of his own nation, his own kindred, his own tongue. He's speaking to those whom he might enjoin as friends. Men and brethren. Brothers, in a natural sense, but those whom he desires to be brothers in a spiritual sense. And of course, brothers means brothers and sisters alike. But it is through this man. It's through the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's through the cross at Calvary. It's through the empty tomb. It's through this one that has ascended to take his place in the highest appointment of heaven. This man. But perhaps the compilers of our Bible, those that translated it into the English tongue, put man in for a reason, that God inclined to become man. What an amazing thing that God should leave the ethereal heights and the glories and splendors of heaven to come to this mean earth, to come in the form and likeness of sinful men and women, there to fulfill on their behalf that which they could not fulfill themselves. Because from the womb to the grave, we are transgressors. And even if we could reform our lives and make ourselves better so that from this moment on we wholly kept the word of God, there are sufficient sins in our lives to condemn us to 1,000 hells. It's through this man. Through this mediator. Through this God-man, through this only one way of salvation. As the hymn writer says, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. Christ only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Jesus only. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And what shall we think of this glorious man? What should we think of this perfect being? This Holy One of Israel. This one in whom the Father delighted. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now it's this man that is preached unto you. And all that we might take these words personally as being applicable surely to us. It's preached unto you. The preacher stands and preaches to a congregation. But he does not desire that his words just fill the air and that they might fall indiscriminately wherever they will. But he desires that each one in his congregation may receive these words as spoken individually unto them. To you is the word of this salvation sent. The Holy Spirit does not work, as it were, en masse. He works individually, secretly, in the hearts of men and women. And there is an appointed time when the word will come with power. But it is through the preaching of the gospel. And let us never lose sight of that. Those that decide to worship in their own homes and despise the Church of Jesus Christ miss many a blessing. Because I'm convinced that the Lord loves his church and gave himself for it. And it is the Lord that raises up his servants and sends them with a message from God, a message for the people, and those that have ears to hear will hear what the Spirit saith. And may we be attentive on each occasion when we are blessed to hear the preached word, as though the minister came just for one. And sometimes it is like that. There may be a great congregation of people, and the Spirit of God may descend upon one out of a great congregation, a singular favor and blessing to the individual. Or to come to the house of God carefully and prayerfully. Lord, wilt thou not speak unto me tonight? Is there not a message for my soul? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Do you desire for the Lord to meet with you? For the Lord to speak through his holy word. For the Lord to do something for you that hell itself will never be able to erase. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Isn't this the very essence of the gospel? As we said before, the word gospel simply means good news. What would be good news for us tonight? Are we troubled about our sins? Are we troubled about our eternal state? Are we troubled as to how we live and as to how we will die? Because it is sin that separates us from God. It is sin that will separate thousands in the final day. It will be the charge of sin, the guilt of sin, that will condemn countless thousands to eternal misery. But here the apostle is sent with a message from God to declare unto these men and brethren that there is a deliverance from sin. Sins can be forgiven. How can they be forgiven? Through this man, Christ Jesus. God is just. And throughout the Old Testament dispensation, when the law was given, the justice of God was decidedly set before the people. God will not hold a person guilty if they keep holy the law. But is it not a sad point that man cannot keep the law? Even though he may try his hardest, yet he sins 1,000 times a day. And therefore he can never merit salvation. The guilt of sin is charged upon him. He is already determined and found guilty. There is no escape from that condition. There can be no deliverance from the power of sin. We have to come to that a number in the scriptures came to when they cried out, "I have sinned." And the stark realization that we have sinned against an holy God will bring us quivering, fearing, trembling before a thrice holy God. When God meets with sin, it is inevitable that he must condemn it, and that he must bring judgment upon the perpetrators of evil in a civilized country. The law charges man, and he is arraigned before the court, and the evidence is set forth, his guilt is proven, and a just and proper sentence is meted out upon him. When a person in olden times murdered, then they were put to death as a just deserts for their sins. And there could be no turning around. If man is guilty, he is guilty. And it's no use putting a gloss over it to try and pretend he's anything else. How then can he be saved? How can we be saved? Well, it's through the preaching of this man. Then we have to ask ourselves, what is so important about the preaching of this man? What is so vital about this doctrine that guilty sinners can be saved? It is because this man, this glorious man, took the sinner's place. He fulfilled on their behalf all the law's demands. And at the end of his days, here below, he took upon himself the sins of all his people, the whole election of grace from the beginning to the end of the world. And he remitted that which the law demanded, the just penalty of sin, is death. And the Lord Jesus died. He died for his people. And there he took their sins and carried them away. That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Isn't this the greatest news that an individual sinner could ever hear? Son, daughter, thy sins are all forgiven. Forgiveness. Not just setting them aside and there to call them into question at a later time, but to wash them completely away. I say it's the greatest blessing that we could receive here below as guilty sinners, to know that our sins, which are many, are all forgiven us. Washed away in the precious fountain of Christ's precious blood. To be looked upon no more again forever. You know, the devil will often come and try and harass us and prove to us that we are still sinners. There is, or at least there was, a sect who used to believe that upon conversion, their sins were forgiven them, but only up to that time, that afterwards their sins could never be forgiven them. Well, what a poor doctrine that is. It would condemn every one of us to hell. Not one could ever be saved, because we sin daily. And we need to wash daily in that precious blood of Jesus. Daily I'd repent of sin. Daily wash in Calvary's blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I've reminded you on many occasions before that the children of Israel in Egypt were under the same sentence of death as the Egyptians. And the only difference was not because they were the sons and daughters of Abraham, not because they were a chosen nation, but because the blood was applied. And when the angel of death saw that blood, he saw that the transaction had been fulfilled, that death had taken place, albeit in the substitute, and justice was satisfied. And so it is with every sinner that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is justified by the blood of Jesus. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Let us not think that the law was a bad law. You know, governments sometimes pass bad laws, and soon they fall into disrepute and pass away. But the law of Moses was a good law. It was given by God after all. But men and women could not keep that law. And it depended upon their obedience. Failure to obey broke the covenant that God had made with this people. Man could never then find any justification in the law, because he could never reach to perfection. And you and I, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're not perfect. Indeed, we have to say there is so much imperfection. Can ever God look upon such a dead dog as I am? But here is a great question. If justification is for them that believe, how can we come to faith? And again, we have to recognize that we cannot give it ourselves. We cannot earn it or merit it. We cannot gain it by any means here below. Faith is the pure gift of God. We are given to believe. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to put faith into the hearts of God's people. We cannot then boast of the faith that we possess, because we have not gained it of ourselves. There was nothing in us that caused God to be moved to give us faith. In fact, there was everything against us that we should not receive faith. And it shows us that God is sovereign, and he will dispense to whomsoever he will. He gives faith that men and women might believe upon the precious Son of God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And by him, again, all the glory must be ascribed to the Lord Jesus. By him, all that believe, that is, all that do believe, and we have to be honest here again, do we believe? Be it known unto you. You see, the preaching of the gospel sets forth the truth of the gospel. It sets forth the terms and conditions by which man might be saved. It's only when we come to believe these things that we know our sins to be forgiven. And whatever the devil may suggest to us, whatever temptation may befall us, whatever doubts and fears we may possess, as one says, once in Christ forever, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sins cannot. The sins of our past, the sins of present, or the sins of the future cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And although we fear to presume, yet there is therefore now, at this present time, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In a sense, these things are clear cut. We're either saved or we're lost. We either believe or we lack faith. And we have to question ourselves upon these things. Do we believe in the Son of God? Do we believe in that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then not only are our sins forgiven, but we are justified. We're made one with God. Our credentials are sure. And we are justified from all things. Let the devil suggest what he likes. The word of God is very clear here. The words that Paul has spoken, he has spoken them deliberately. That believers are justified from all things. That is, from every condemnation of the law. From every charge of Satan. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifies his people. Now, we cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Only by faith. And again, I would remind you that faith has to be given. It's not inherent. It does not naturally dwell within us. Some come to that position where they feel if only they could believe, they could see the answer to the solution, they could see everything resolved, all they need to do is believe. The minister might call upon you to believe, but you know that in your own strength you cannot, and no one can convince you to believe. And yet the gospel is to be preached. How mysterious. How strange. That God owns and blesses the preaching of the gospel. And he seals home the truth of it in the hearts of his people. He brings that conviction. He convinces them of what they are. And he convinces them of what they need. And then he gives them faith to be able to lay hold upon it, upon this precious truth. The forgiveness of sins, justification through faith alone, through Christ alone. that when we come to that great and solemn day of the Lord, as in a court of law arraigned before the judge, and the charges are brought forth, and the sentence is given, not guilty, not guilty, not one charge will stick, not one sentence will hold, because Christ, by his precious righteousness, covers a sinner that no spot or wrinkle can be seen, no imperfection will be found, perfect in Christ Jesus. What a glorious gospel is a gospel that we have to declare. A gospel that justifies sinners and sets them free and at liberty. Takes away the guilt and condemnation and the fear that they have been under. And says, Son, thy sins are all forgiven thee. And we are made right for heaven. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may confirm these things in our hearts. We may have that witness of the Spirit within ourselves. That we are made meet for heaven. As those that are the sons and daughters of God, but the inheritance is ours, and we shall soon come into the possession of it and realize the wonderful glory through a never-ending eternity. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. May the Lord bless his own word to us. Amen.